Good evening, everybody.
Hello, hello.
Good Monday evening to everybody, and we hope you are joining us for Anointed, what is this? Monday Man Bible Study. I was going to say Anointed Inspirations.
Anointed. I thought you were going to say, like one of our former members said when she introduced me, Anointed it. You remember that?
Yes, I did.
All right. Let's see. Are we on, Lady Kim?
I'm not sure yet. I'm trying to get there.
Seems like you should be able to set it up for you to get a thing that says A Top is Live.
There we are.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
The Anointed Dead Temple. Well, I'm here with the birthday girl this evening.
Almost.
She's still in celebration mode, and we do praise God for another day. And on tomorrow at 5:08, is that right?
Yes.
5:08 p.m.?
P.m.
You will celebrate a significant day in your life. And we expressed, many of us from the congregation expressed our appreciation and love, especially the ATOP Church family, as well as your own family here, just to show you how much you love. But it's not just about one day, but that love should be extended throughout the year. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
Because when we get to a certain age in life, a lot of things we have learned, but there's still so much more that God has in store for us.
Absolutely.
And so I think we season, in a sense, with maturity, and it causes us to have a different perspective on life. And then we shift from a position of trying to seek out mentors, and we find ourselves being mentors ourselves.
We should be mentors.
We should be, yeah. You're not a mentor to anybody?
I hope I am.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So, yes. But I believe that's happening. Let us know that the sound is coming in clear and that you can hear us. Somebody give us an indication of that happening. We have a very interesting study that we're going to start tonight. We have closed out that series in Genesis, and I concluded my part two of that sermon on yesterday from the 50th chapter. And Lady Kim, I really hated to let that Genesis study go. It was so powerful.
It was awesome.
And enriching. And I hope many of you gained some valuable insight through that study. And that last chapter, it just really brought everything, I think, to a close, and kind of gave us a sense of understanding who God is, even in the midst of what we're going through.
Right, yes.
Our trial may not be like Joseph's, but all of us face some pits, and we face some confinements of our own. But God has promised that if people do evil, they might intend things to happen for evil, but God can turn it around for our good.
Absolutely.
All right. Can y'all hear us all right?
They said they can.
All is clear. Okay, well, the hour is upon us. Tonight, though, we're going to start a whole unique study, and we're going to look at, this is going to be interesting now, it's going to be the 73 Psalms of David.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the entire Psalms, but it's going to be 73 that has been attributed to David. And we're going to just kind of dig in and see what God has to say to us. A lot of people are going to find out some very valuable information as we get ready to have the recap or the review from yesterday, and as we have prayer. They're going to find out some things here in the Psalms, the 73 Psalms of David, that I believe is going to be enlightening and going to help us as we go through this journey. What do you think?
I do too.
Yes. Okay. All right. So let's do this. Let's have prayer. And then are you ready to kind of share with us a little bit about that part two sermon on yesterday? Are you still excited from your birthday?
I'm still in birthday
You're
mode.
You're still in birthday mode.
Yeah, for the rest of the week.
Okay.
For the rest of the month.
All right. Rest of the month. Let's have prayer. Father, we bless you and we honor you and we thank you for another opportunity to call upon your name, to assemble ourselves around your word. You've already decreed that your word would indeed be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. So we pray now, dear Lord, that you will just allow your word to do a work on us, and then that you will work through this virtual airway and meet the needs of those who are viewing and those who will view this particular Bible study later. So we love you tonight, we honor you, and we yet give you praise. And so now, God, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength, and you are our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, and praise God. All right. Okay. Is that a prayer request coming in, Lady Kim?
Yes, there is a prayer request from Sister Valerie Rankins. She asked us to keep her son, Charles, lifted up in prayer. They're in the emergency room.
Wow.
So we will be praying, Sister Valerie.
Okay. All right. Well, I hope that those of you who are on would touch and agree with us as we pray for his name is Charles.
Mm-hmm.
As we pray for Charles and the Rankin family, they're in Pensacola, Florida. And we know that even though we're in Memphis and surrounding areas, some might be elsewhere, that does not limit the power of prayer and the power of God to move on our behalf.
That's right.
The Bible says the effectual fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. And God can touch and heal right here, and he can go down to Pensacola, and he can move up to Chicago and go out to California all at the same time. All right. Okay.
That's on our amazing, omnipotent, omnipresent God.
That's it. Well, Lady Kim, share with us a little bit about the closeout of that sermon on yesterday and anything else you would like to share with us.
Well, again, you preached from the book of Genesis, the 50th chapter, verses 15 through 20.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, it was a part two.
Right.
From bitter to better, from bad to best, and from good to great.
Okay.
And so we had an awesome time in the Lord on yesterday. And you continued your points. Well, that the particular scripture talked about when Joseph's father had died,
right.
Jacob had died, and he saw his brothers. His brothers thought that Joseph would hate them because
mm-hmm.
of what they had done. They thought he would revert back because now that their father was no longer on the scene, they thought he would his anger would be kindled against them again.
Okay.
And they were afraid.
They were afraid.
They said that they would offer themselves as slaves to Joseph.
That's
for
right.
what they had done. But Joseph said, "Am I in the place of God?"
Wow.
He said, "I'm not in the place of God."
Mm-hmm.
And so he had truly forgiven his brothers for what they had done to him.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, for those of you who may not know, his brothers had sold him into slavery.
That's right.
And then from slavery, as Pastor said, he went to the palace
mm-hmm.
To be a servant. And Potiphar's wife accused him of trying to take advantage of her. And
right.
as a result, he was thrown into prison. And we know Joseph had some gifts that God had given him. And one of the gifts that God had given him was the gift to interpret dreams.
Okay.
And so he had a dream, and he interpreted the dream of the butler and the baker that were also in prison with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked them to do one thing. He said, "Remember me when you are released from prison."
Right.
And one of them did remember him when he went back into the palace.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had a dream also.
That's right.
And the baker remembered, or was it the butler? The butler remembered that Joseph
mm-hmm.
it could interpret dreams, and
he was
told
still in
him
prison
about
at that time.
Yes,
right?
He was. And so they called Joseph forth, and Joseph interpreted the dream. And the dream was that, you know, there would be 7 years of plenty, and
mm-hmm.
then there would be 7 years of lack or famine in the land. And he told him to store up in those 7 years. Mm-hmm. Get all you can, store up all you can while you can, because there will be 7 years of scarcity, right, in the land. And when that happened, Pharaoh said, or was it? It was Potiphar. One of they switched.
They switched there in that whole process.
Yes, but Potiphar told him to find someone. Well, Joseph told Potiphar to find someone to take that responsibility, and he said, "There's no better person to do that but you,
That's right. You
have interpreted the dream." And so Joseph went from the pit in which his brothers had thrown him into, then to slavery, and then to the palace, and then into prison. And now he's back in the palace again, second in charge. And then his brothers had to come to him because of the famine.
That's right.
To receive food. They didn't recognize Joseph, but Joseph recognized them. And he kind of toyed with them back and forth for a while. But in the end, and this is where we get to chapter 50, in the end, his whole family was brought to Egypt.
Okay.
And his father passed away. They took his father back to Canaan.
That's right.
And now his brothers are afraid that he will repay them for what they had done to him. And this is where he said, "I have totally forgiven you, and I will not repay you for what you have done to me." And so it ends kind of on a happy note there. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you had several points that you spoke about. And the first point that you talked about, not yesterday, but last Sunday, was don't let your context change your character.
Right, right.
Because Joseph could have been changed. How could he have been changed? First of all, he could have been changed because he could have been angry with his brothers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He could have been changed because now he was in the palace in a high position, and he could have treated them very badly.
That's right.
Or he could have
been slaves.
They could have been slaves.
His slaves.
Or that he could have had them killed.
Had them killed. Banish them to a place where they would not be productive or have any means to, you know, really increase in terms of their, you know, livelihood.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, you know, through all of this, Joseph's character never changed.
That's right.
And that's what I like about, you know, you can see some people and they can become famous,
mm-hmm.
you know, and become arrogant. And then some people become famous and they remain who they are. They
humble.
Remain humble and, you know, approachable.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the way God wants us to be, you know, level-headed, approachable. You know, there are no big eyes and no little U's.
Okay.
And so in that case, don't let your context change your character.
Mm-hmm.
So don't let whatever has happened to you change your character. You should exhibit a godly character at all times.
Integrity as well.
Yes, your mm-hmm. integrity, mm-hmm. yes. And then your second point was don't let what happened hinder you from helping.
Yeah.
Because Joseph could very well have turned his brothers away and sent them back to Canaan empty-handed. But he provided for his brothers.
Mm-hmm.
He helped them out. And he even returned their money to them that they had brought to pay for the grain that he had given them that they thought they were purchasing. Joseph gave
he
it to them.
He blessed them, didn't he?
He blessed them.
That's
and that's
right.
what we
that's
should
right.
do. We should be a blessing to those.
Absolutely.
Who
We're
are
blessed
in
to
need.
Be a blessing.
Yes.
Save to do some saving and love to do some loving.
Amen.
That's Bishop T. Garrett Benjamin's old saying, and that's still even present in this story as it should be in our own lives.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then your last point was don't let your problems cause a perplexity about God's presence.
Okay, okay.
You know, sometimes when we get in a predicament, we don't feel God. We don't feel like he's there.
Right.
You know, but God is always
he's
there.
He's always there.
And whether you feel him or not, see, we go based on our feelings.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah. And so God is not a God that's based on feelings. God is always there. So, you know, whatever you're going through, just remember God is always there. Don't misthink that. Don't underestimate that.
Mm-hmm.
God is always there, and he's always there to take care of your needs and watch over you. And things will work out for the good.
It says,
all things work together for the good for those that love God and those that are called according to his purpose. So don't let your problems cause a perplexity about God's presence.
Okay. So that will give us an opportunity to move from a bitter situation and come out better. And oftentimes people are bitter, and they allow that bitterness to hinder what God is trying to get them to see. And so I think God wants us to be better. He wants us to be whole. He wants us to be healed. He wants us to be set free. For the Bible says, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. And many times we can hold our own selves hostage to our experiences and what we've gone through, and we fail to help people as a result of God bringing us out of a situation. And whenever the Lord brings us out, or whenever the Lord delivers, whenever the Lord rescues us, then I believe, Lady Kim, we have a responsibility to reach back and help others as we see them struggling. And that's really a part of the testimony that is developed in us as a result of what we have gone through. And somebody perhaps is viewing this particular virtual study tonight, and you are in a situation where it feels like you're confined. You're in a situation where you feel like you are being held hostage to the things of your past. But I think this 50th chapter of Genesis really gives us some solid handles on how to understand that even though men might intend it for evil, God can turn that thing around for your good.
Yes, he can.
Okay. So we're going to move from there, and we're getting ready to do a powerful study, going on a powerful journey for the next few weeks now, for probably going to take us through the summer in this the Psalms, 73 Psalms, not the entire book of Psalms, but 73 Psalms that have been attributed to David. And so we'll see that even as we revisit this study, because several years ago I preached a series on, it was in the summer, called it Psalms for the Summer. You remember that?
Right, yes.
And so we went through, but we did not really deal with each of the psalms, but we picked out some psalms that were familiar to us and just kind of used that as a framework or a launching pad, if you will, for that series that we did on the summer. But I think this study will really help us understand and reveal much about David, but it's also going to help us to see some of us in these psalms.
Yes. There are 150 books, chapters, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
There are 150 chapters in the book of Psalms.
Okay.
And the majority of those chapters are attributed to David, like
That's
you
right.
said. 73 of them, to be exact, are attributed to David.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm so excited to see what David has to say.
Mm-hmm.
In the book of Psalms.
Okay. So what we'll do tonight is just really an introduction to our study and to kind of get you on track. This is going to be a time where you can really get your pad out, take some notes, or however you go about doing that. You can write in your Bible if you want to. I don't believe God is going to hold that against us. And so you can write in your Bible, because many people, perhaps, Lady Kim, think that all of the Psalms are attributed to David, because we see he has a tremendous influence over the majority of the Psalms. But I think the Psalms deal with really the essence of who God is.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also helps us to understand that the Psalms are relational, and we serve a relational God. And so even though everything might not be well with us. All might not be well with someone right now, but that really doesn't change who God is because we are having a rough time or a rough season. God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And I believe as we look at these Psalms, we will see that God's grace will be there, and he's going to extend that same grace to us that he did for David. Mm-hmm. If you don't mind just sharing with us just an introduction of what we can be in store for as we prepare for this journey that we're going to go down in the Psalms.
Okay. As just an introduction, the word Psalms means praises. Mm. All right? You can write that down in your Bible next to the word Psalms. Psalms means praises, and each psalm contains an element of praise to God.
Wow.
All center on a cry, a need, or a joyful song dedicated to God.
Mm-hmm.
61 psalms are anonymous.
Okay.
11 psalms are assigned to the sons of Korah, though they were more likely performers than authors. One psalm, Psalm 90, was assigned to Moses. 73 psalms were assigned to David, and those are the ones that we're going to study in Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
12 psalms, Psalm 50 and 73 through 83 were assigned to Asaph, Levite, singer.
Mm-hmm.
Two Psalms, 72 and 127, were assigned to Solomon.
Mm.
One, Psalm 88, was assigned to Heman, the Ezraite Levite musician.
Mm-hmm.
And one Psalm, Psalm 89, was assigned to Ethan, the Ezraite. There was also an Ethan and a Heman who were Levites who played cymbals.
Okay. And Lady Kim, even as you were sharing that information, we see a lot of, I don't know the proper pronunciation, but we see a lot of musical references mm-hmm. to the Psalms, because the Psalms were primarily the songbook.
Right.
That they would use during the time that we read. And most of what you read in the Psalms are, you probably have quite a few songs mm-hmm. that have come directly from off of the pages of some of the Psalms. Wouldn't
you
agree?
Absolutely, yes.
And so you see musicians here, you see instruments being made available, and you also see how there's, as you said, a need, and there is a cry. There's a lot of frustration at times. There's a lot of looking inward and God coming to the rescue and God revealing himself as in terms of who he is and what he can do for us and rescues us from situations as he did with David and as he did with other writers of the Psalms.
Yes, mm-hmm. absolutely.
Okay.
So, yes, there are a lot of songs, even popular songs now, that mm-hmm. are come right out of the pages of the Book of Psalms.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can't think of any right offhand. Oh, yes, I can. Okay. One that says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised."
Mm-hmm. And I was
glory to his name.
Okay. I will bless the Lord at all times.
I will bless the Lord at all times.
And his praise shall continue to be in my mouth. Is that a song?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Yes. I know it's a psalm, but that's a song as well.
It's a song and a psalm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's interesting that sometimes, you know, God will place a melody in someone's heart and they will put that melody to the words in the Book of Psalms.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me.
Yeah.
Let us exalt his name together. Mm-hmm. Isn't that a song?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's kind of dive in a little bit for the time that we have left. Going over as an introduction, Psalm 1 and 2 helps introduce the 73 Psalms.
Okay.
And includes the scriptures and explanations. Okay. Mm-hmm. These 73 Psalms consistently refer to David as the psalmist.
Okay.
And to God as Lord, and are divided into five sections.
Okay.
How God in section one is beside us.
Mm.
In section two, how God goes before us. In section three, how God is all around us.
Mm-hmm.
In section four, how God is above us. And section five, how God is among us.
Wow.
Each psalm begins with a title and ends with a conclusion.
Okay. That's powerful right there, because I think the information that we're sharing, that we hope people are taking notes. You mind referencing those different sections again? Because someone might be interested in perhaps, writing that down.
Mm-hmm. And don't forget, we're talking specifically about the 73 Psalms of David.
Right.
And they're categorized into five different sections, okay? First of all, how God is beside us.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first section. How God goes before us. How God is all around us, how God is above us, and how God is among us.
That's powerful, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. So we see that this brief introduction really helps us to get a sense of what God is doing, particularly through David, and how these 73 Psalms really show the blessed versus the ungodly, and how the heathens reject God, not serving or trusting him. And even in these 73 Psalms, we see David's sin, we see his trials, and we see his triumphs. And I think each of us can relate to that, because none of us are perfect. None of us are there yet. We all struggle. We all have difficulty and bad days. We have trials and tribulations, and we all can identify the triumphs in our life. And I think the 73 Psalms, as it relates to the experiences that David had, will really speak to us where we are on our journey and try to be whole in God's sight.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
So let's try to deal with chapters 1 and 2 tonight. You think we'll be able to just give a brief summary of those two chapters tonight?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
And that first psalm is very familiar.
It's very familiar, yeah. Yes. And I love it. And I think we're going to kind of walk a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
We don't usually do verse by verse.
Right.
You know, we usually just summarize. But I think this first chapter leans towards that verse by verse.
Okay.
Okay. And says, blessed equals walks with, but delights in the Lord. Walks with, not the wicked, but mm-hmm. delights in the Lord.
Okay.
Okay. And ungodly, of course, is not useful. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's mm-hmm. cast into the fire. So let's look at this.
Okay.
Because it talks about the ruining and the perishing of the ungodly. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly,
mm-hmm.
nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Blessed is he who walks not with the wicked in the counsel of law of the ungodly, nor stands with sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful. That's even mocking religion, okay?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Darkness and ungodly.
That's good.
You know, but light is godly.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's no fellowship together with those two.
No, that's like trying to mix oil and water.
Right.
It won't work. And so that really kind of stands out, because there is a definite distinction here between the godly and the ungodly. And it tells us what will be the advantages and disadvantages as a result of us choosing one way or the other.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because a lot of people are still walking in ungodliness, But those who are walking according to the will of God. And I think, what is it, Matthew 6 and 33, it reminds us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things shall be added unto us. Mm-hmm. Right living, that's what we're trying to get at. Mm-hmm. And so that doesn't mean that we're perfect, but that we are striving toward perfection. And so the things that tripped us up 10 years ago, we shouldn't have to be stumbling over that again now if we are walking right before God.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen. And verse number 2 goes on to say, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, mm-hmm. and in the law doth he meditate day and night.
Okay.
Delight means to be spiritually happy.
Okay.
You know, and in the law of the Lord and the word of God.
Okay.
We have to be spiritually happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
Meditating on his law, thinking strongly on his word.
That's good.
With the Holy Spirit teaching the hidden things of the word.
Mm.
And we have to keep that day and night.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because there are some things that only can be revealed as a result of us seriously applying this word and studying this word. Sometimes people try to figure it out in their own knowledge and in their own skill set and their ability. But there are some things that can only be revealed as a result of us asking God to give us the wisdom and the understanding. And for those who do not seek God in that way, those things will be hidden to them and they will have no idea about the spiritual things.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Okay.
Verse number 3 says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season.
Mm-hmm.
His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doth shall prosper.
Okay.
So it's really saying that those who are deeply planted like a tree by the rivers of water in God's word will be fruitful in God's work.
Wow. That's powerful, isn't it?
Yes. So if you're rooted and grounded in God's word, you're going to be fruitful in God's work.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to bring forth the fruit of joy and peace and patience and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And I think those are listed as the spiritual Galatians as part of
the fruit of the spirit. That's right.
Bearing it is in itself fruit bearing. Okay, bearing these characteristics,
okay.
It's in itself fruit bearing.
So it's going to automatically produce something bountiful as a result of us applying those particular elements to our own lives.
Yes, and mm-hmm. you know, when I thought about that, you know, when the farmer plants something, everything doesn't come up in the same season.
Okay,
you know, different vegetables, different fruits. You know, it's pretty soon. I think it's strawberry season right now because I see a lot of strawberries.
They're
out.
Pretty sweet too.
Yes, they are.
You got a gift of what do they call that?
Edible arrangement.
Yeah,
all the fruit was sweet.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was great. But everything does not come up at the same season.
Okay.
So at some point in your walk, you might be displaying peace.
Mm.
In another point, you might be displaying patience in a situation. So just like in the natural, so it is with the spirit realm.
Okay.
That we bear fruit in its season. We bear fruit when it's time for us to bear fruit. And then it said, his leaf shall not wither, because the trees are planted by the rivers of water. They're continuously nourished.
That's right.
So they're continuously green.
Mm-hmm.
And they flourish with blessings.
Okay.
Yeah. And whatsoever he does, directed by the word, providence, and grace of God, shall prosper. That's true prosperity. And that means that we shall be blessed.
That's right. That's
because we're just like that tree planted by the rivers of waters.
Mm-hmm. And you talked about that tree, the roots are deep and they are really developing a sense of nurturing as a result of them being planted by the rivers of water.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the same thing that God would have for us.
Mm-hmm. And so it says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. The ungodly. Now, we can sit right here and talk about the ungodly all day. You know, the chaff is like the chaff. It's like the wasted plow into the soil, or it's burned off or of no use. And they're destroyed at harvest time. So when the harvest comes forth, all of it is not usable, all right? All of that fruit or all of that vegetable is not useful. And you can think about a stalk of corn, right? The ear of corn. What do we do with the ear of corn? We don't eat everything that comes from the stalk. The corn, we pluck it from the stalk and we throw the stalk away. And not only do we throw the stalk away, we husk the corn. We take the green part off of the outside. We take the silk part off of the corn cob and we discard it. Now, some people use the husk for other things in cooking. Like I know some people make hot tamales and they use that outer husk. We still don't eat it though. You know, they wrap the cornmeal and the meat mixture within the husk and cook it within the husk. I think it gives it a good flavor and it allows it to maintain its moisture. But my point is that everything that comes forth is not useful, okay? And so it is with the ungodly. The ungodly are not useful to God. The ungodly are like waste. The ungodly get thrown, pushed aside or plowed up under like shaft, which the wind driveth away. And it says at judgment, verse number five, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. So at the judgment seat, the ungodly shall be cast into the lake of fire with the believers. In Christ, and the believers in Christ will reign with him, hearing him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. So when we come into the kingdom, God will say to the righteous, well done, my good and faithful servant. But to the unrighteous, to the ungodly, they will stand in judgment. Oh, do you want to be like the godly? Do you want to be the godly, or do you want to be represented as the unrighteous? That's a good question for somebody today, because there are many people out here that are ungodly, doing ungodly things, thinking ungodly thoughts. We never know when Jesus is going to come back again. So we have to get our minds together. We have to get our thought pattern together, because we want to hear God say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And let's look at verse number six. It says, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The way of the righteous is a godly order. I'll say that again. The way of the righteous is a godly order. The wicked or the ungodly person's way will end in ruin, or they will perish, okay? And so we see it every day. We see on the news. I know there's another scripture in the Bible that says, if you live by the sword, you will die by the sword, okay? So that's part of the wicked, okay? There are two ways, and there are two ways to live, right? We know there are two ways to live. There's the saved and godly way to live, and then there's the unsaved and the ungodly way to live. And so we want to be on God's side. Well, I can only speak for me. I don't know about anybody else, but I want to be on God's side. I want to live a saved and godly life because I want to hear God say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. And come on up, and I'll make you ruler over many. Amen? Amen. All right. And so that is the first chapter in Psalm. That's the first chapter in Psalm. Okay? So, let's move on to chapter 2. We're going to do the introduction today. We're going to do chapter 1 and then chapter 2, and I think that'll be it for tonight. Okay? Let's look at chapter 2. Do the introduction of the Psalm of David, where the heathens reject God, but we serve God and trust him. Okay? The heathen rejects God, and we serve God and we trust him. All right. The heathen rejects God. Hostile kings and rulers were against God. They desired to break their bonds or bands with God, who laughs at their foolishness and their ridicule. He reveals God's displeasure and sees the wrath of God that makes us tremble. All right? And then that's verses 1 through 5. And then verses 6 through 12, we serve God, who decides who is to be in authority, decides who is to rule, and gives the heathen an inheritance if they ask. His kings of great strength, has kings of great strength, has kings that reverence God, submitting to authority, shows fear or reverence and rejoice in God with humility, and shows allegiance and submission to God's Son to avoid God's wrath.
You're in chapter 2, Reverend?
Yes.
Okay. I apologize for the interruption, but we had a little situation that needed my attention. But Lady Kim is well capable, and she's on the track now to prepare herself for this doctoral program, so I have no doubt that she can handle the situation. All right. So, Lady Kim, we're going to go next another few more minutes. Where are you in chapter
Just
two.
Getting started with chapter 2.
Okay. Why don't we do this? Why don't we stop here for tonight and allow the readers to the audience to be aware of where we're going and maybe give some instructions for next week. And we can start with chapter 2 and then maybe let's see what the layout looks like. Chapter 3, 4, and 5 for next week. You think we'll be able to handle that?
Okay.
And that way people will know where we're going and they'll have a sense of getting a handle on the 73 Psalms that relate to David's authorship. And then we can pick it up there.
Okay. So each week we'll let you know what chapters we're going to deal with the following week, so you can keep up, because like we say, there are 73 Psalms that are attributed to David, and they're not in order.
Right.
Some of them, they skip around sometimes. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that you are keeping up with us in your reading.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Well, let's stop there, Lady Kim, and certainly appreciate each of you being on the virtual study tonight. And we're certainly grateful for how God is sustaining us in this season. And even though we're still in COVID, we feel lifting, and we're back. Our second in-person worship experience happened yesterday, and we're looking forward to that experience continuing. We had great numbers on yesterday, and viewership was up as well. For those who were watching on the live stream. So are there any particular announcements or anything else we need to be aware of, or any prayer concerns as we prepare to close out tonight?
Oh, of course, this coming Saturday, our youth is sponsoring the virtual game, virtual escape room. Mm-hmm. And so if you have paid your $10, Sister Erin will get with you for the login information for the virtual escape room. And then this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock p.m., mm-hmm. we will celebrate with Pastor Marquise McPherson,
that's right.
his installation as well as his one-year anniversary as the pastor of the New Bethel Baptist Church. And so we want to be there to celebrate with New Bethel and their pastor and our beloved Pastor Marquise. I keep wanting to say Minister Marquise,
I know,
but
right.
he's Pastor Marquise.
He stopped by this past Sunday, yesterday, and he was out in the hallway for a few minutes. Some of the people had a chance to see him. But we are encouraging our members to be present for that particular service, installation, and anniversary. And we're just kind of lumping that all in together. But, you know, we love Pastor Marquise. He's loved at ATOP. And we want to celebrate with the New Bethel Church, the installation, and want to show our appreciation for what he's done even as he was with us. I can remember quite vividly, Pastor Marquise basically grew up at ATOP.
He did.
He was a young man still in high school when he came. Was he out of high school?
He was out of high school.
He was out of high school?
They were in college.
They were in college, okay. And so we love him, and he's loved at ATOP, and we look forward to what God is going to do through him as he steps out and pastors the New Bethel Baptist Church.
Amen. Mm-hmm. We want to lift up our sick and shut in. Continue to lift up Minister Kelly Seeley in your prayers. Also, Brother Larry Shotwell, continue mm-hmm. to lift him up in your prayers. And somebody else was on my mind, and it flipped out right quick. But God knows my heart. Sister Valerie Rankin's mm-hmm. son, mm-hmm. Charles Anthony Rankin's. We want to lift him up in our prayers also as they're in the emergency room with him.
Okay, all right. Well, that's our time together this evening, and we hope and pray that each of you will continue to be blessed as you move forward. We're going to, and I'm not clear if we're going to continue with our registration this Sunday or not, but we're opening it up even more so, so that people will be able to come, even if you don't register, and we're opening it up to the community to be a part. We had several visitors this past Sunday and the Sunday before, and so we want to make sure that the word gets out that we are actually opening and we have in-person worship experience at ATOP.
Amen. Sister Angela said, please continue to pray for Brother Andre Richard in Flint, Michigan.
Absolutely.
We will certainly lift up Brother Andre.
Okay.
The registration link will be posted on tomorrow for this Sunday's in-person worship.
Okay. And I believe after this one, Lady Kim, I think I made the announcement in our leadership meeting that we're going to just allow people to come, but they will still have to go through the necessary protocol once they get there in terms of the temperature checks and the wearing your mask and also the social distancing. That's right. Okay. Will you close us out with a word of prayer
on
this evening?
God, we thank you. We bless you and we honor you, for you are worthy to be praised. We thank you for your word tonight, God. We ask, oh God, that it be a seed and fertile soil into our souls. That as we study the Psalms, God, you will remind us of how great you are. We know how great you are, God, but sometimes we need a reminder, because when we go from day to day and when we're pressed on every side, sometimes we forget who you are and what you can do in our situation. So we thank you that the psalm will be a reminder that no matter what we go through, you're still there.
Yes, God.
We ask, oh God, that you would bless the sick tonight, God. Bless Brother Andre Richard, oh God.
Yes.
Touch and heal his body. Bless Sister Kelly Calhoun Seely, God, tonight, and heal her body. Bless Brother Charles Rankins tonight, God, heal and touch his body. Bless Brother Larry Shotwell tonight, strengthen and heal and touch his body. And any others, oh God, that I did not call or call their name out loud, you know who they are,
you
God.
You know, God.
We ask that you touch them and heal that feeble body, God. Strengthen them where they're weak and heal them
God.
Up where they're
Do
torn
it, God.
Down. We ask for a supernatural healing for Anthony Hanley tonight,
Do
God,
it, God,
in the name of Jesus.
Yes, God.
We ask that you would strengthen Earl Murray Jr. tonight,
yes,
God,
God,
in
yes,
the
God.
Name of Jesus. And we thank you, God, that you can do anything but fail.
Mm.
Now, God, as we come to the close of this Bible study, we ask that every person who views this study tonight be blessed beyond measure just because they dared to tune in. We love you, we thank you, we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen, and praise God. All right, well, we're certainly grateful for each of you and those who will view this particular session later, and we hope that you will have a God-filled evening, and that every need will be met, every prayer will be heard, and every way will be made. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, be blessed.
Amen. Bye, everybody.